Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 again. Just going to read the third verse this morning. We've been talking about how that faith is our future. It determines our future in eternity. Not only in eternity, but in this life too. You know, our faith has a lot to do with how things turn out for us here in this life. And then we talk about how faith is our reputation. It's what we're known by, and what will be our name through eternity has to do with our faith. But faith doesn't just look forward, and faith is not just for right now. I mean, faith looks back too. If you look in this verse, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So faith takes us all the way back to the beginning of what we know as the universe. Covers it all. Faith just doesn't look to the future. Faith is about more than just going to heaven when you die. Spending eternity in heaven with God. Faith's about more than that. But real faith includes faith in the beginning of things too. I don't know if I can get this across this morning like I want to, but with the Lord's help, maybe we can do some good here. Lord, help us, I pray. Bless the word of God in our hearts. Thank you for what we've heard already this morning. Pray you'd help us to ponder these things in our heart and keep them and apply them in the way we perceive and look at the world. Help us, Lord, I pray. Please bless now and give the understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. So faith is our future, but it's also our past. Faith not only looks to the future, but it also looks to the past. The kind of faith that's involved in the redemption of a lost soul has to have its foundation in the beginning as well as in the end. Yes, sir. Y'all hearing me now? I mean, what I'm going to try to get across to you this morning is that you have to believe in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Right. You have to believe from Genesis 1:1 to the end of the Revelation 22. You have to believe that. That's faith. Faith is not just a hope in the future. Faith is a confidence in all that is and all that ever has been. That's the foundation. That's where it has to come from. In the beginning. God didn't start at the end. He started in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. True faith includes a view of God that answers or covers eternity, and not just future, but also past eternity. Not just future eternity, but past eternity. We have to realize that God's eternal. When he said in the beginning, he didn't mean in the beginning of God. He meant in the beginning of what we know, the heavens and the earth, the physical universe in the beginning of, and that's all that concerns us. Eternity past is not anything we need to even ponder about, except faith, real faith, accepts that at face value, just what it says. God is eternal. First question a little child will ask when they start beginning to question and reach for things. They'll say, well, where did God come from? Well, God came from eternity. There's an end somewhere to all of the logic. That's what I've never understood, that anybody could settle on. In the beginning, there was a big bang and everything blew up, and that's where everything came from. Oh, okay, I'm good with that. I can't understand that. That does not answer any questions. That satisfies nobody. They've made their God nothing. That's what their God is nothing. And we make our God, God. God is God. We don't make him that way. That's where we end at, God. In the beginning, God. And that's good enough for faith.
Yes, right.
It's good enough for faith. You have to believe that. Effectual saving faith must believe what this verse says. That in the beginning, God created all things. And that he created them out of nothing. You see pictures and you hear little stories and you see representations that the world or somebody makes of God wadding up a wad of dirt and throwing it and that's the earth. No, that's not anything like what really happened. God made everything out of nothing. He spoke and it was. Let there be and there was. He didn't have to gather up the materials to make it. He made the materials. You know, I read a little thing one time. This scientist was bragging and blowing how that he could create life. He could make a man and he could do that. And so God said, all right, go ahead. And so he reached down and grabbed some dirt. And he said, no, no, no. You get your own dirt. You make your own dirt. God made man out of the dust of the ground. But he made everything else by speaking it into existence. You have to understand that. He made them out of nothing. The worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. There was no big bang. You know, that's not where everything came from. You must not compromise on any of that nonsense. God created. In the beginning, God created. And you must believe that. I don't care what you believe about Jesus, you're off if you don't believe just as much, just as thoroughly. If you're not thoroughly convinced that in the beginning God made everything out of nothing, then Jesus has no meaning to you. Neither does anything else. You can't have that part without that part. And I don't care what your name is, how big a religious position you hold. Most of them are theistic evolutionists now.
That's right.
They believe that God created everything, but he just helped evolution along. You know, we really came from evolution. But her dad wrote a letter to James Dobson one time, and I got it back. I got the letter. And his secretary said that he believed in theistic evolution. In other words, he believed that we all started as monkeys or rocks or something, but God was overseeing the whole process. Baloney!
Absolutely.
What in the world? You can't believe that and believe God. That is not real faith. I don't care what your name is. I don't care what your pedigree is, what you've accomplished according to the world or whatever. The devil's good at what he does. He's a liar and deceiver. And what did we talk about here a few weeks ago? About standing. He's trying to get you to compromise. To just back up. To just give a little. Like you talk about, Gary. That's what they want you to do. Just stand down a little bit. Effectual saving faith must believe this. Eternity has no beginning or end. So all that we can comprehend from our earthly prison here with the physical senses we have that we had a beginning and will also have an end. Everything we see and perceive with our physical senses here had a beginning. And it will have an end. Heaven and earth shall pass away. But my words shall never pass away. It's going to pass away. It's temporal. Temporary. It's not going to abide forever.
No.
This earth, the heavens that we see are not. They're a creation of God. God made them out of nothing. He's going to return them to nothing. Mm-hmm. But true saving faith reaches beyond the beginning of the creation of the world and trusts in the fact that God always was and always will be and He will always be the same. That is the only answer that satisfies a soul, a mind. God. In the beginning, God. That answers it all. First words of the Bible. First four words. In the beginning, God. That settles it.
Yes.
That settles all the questions. You can build your life, your eternal life, off of that right there. Saving faith comes from believing that. You must. You must. You must. From our perspective, in this whole process of time, and that's another element of God's creation, is time. God does not live in time. 1,000 years with the Lord is one day. One day is 1,000 years. Time means nothing to God. He doesn't live in that confinement. And He doesn't measure things according to time, except when it comes to us in this physical creation. Now, we're in a certain point. This is a whole thing it's like a mural on the wall from beginning to end, that God has created it, and it's had the beginning. There's a day when it's going to end. Yes. And we are along that timeline somewhere, I believe, close to the end. And we can view the whole thing. From our perspective in this whole process of time, we've got the most advantageous view that any generation has ever had. Do you realize that? To understand what God is doing and what all this is about all around us. We are in the best place that anybody's ever been in all of the history of humanity, to know and to be able to understand what's going on. Boy, to be blind in this generation the guilt's going to be heavy.
Yes, sir.
And to sit in church and to have a Bible and to have the Word of God preached to you and still not get it, your guilt's going to be gravely heavy. Yes. Before God. Because we have got a good view. We're at the end of this whole process. And so we have 6,000 years of human history to read and study as an example and a testimony to the truth of the Word of God in all things. Knowledge shall increase in the latter days. Yeah, look at all the knowledge we've got. I mean, of all the, from the microscopic, super microscopic, to the grandest things in the universe. We know all about them. We got pictures of them. We can see them. We've taken everything apart and analyzed everything down to the DNA and the atoms and the parts of an atom and all of that. So we can understand the creation of God. He's clearly seen in all of that. So the more we know about the creation, the more guilt we're going to have before God for denying Him, for holding Him in contempt, Gary. Refusing to submit, that's the opposite of faith. And see, faith is, there's the way of life and there's the way of death. Faith takes the way of life. I don't want to get on that other message, but we're at the end and we can see this clearly. We can clearly see how the devil has tried to break down and destroy this foundation of faith in God. Now, what did I say the foundation? I mean, the beginning. Faith looks back to the beginning. You must believe that. Hope it'll be clear before we get down here. This verse ought to be a wake-up call to us all about guarding this most important attribute of true saving faith. That you must believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That you must believe that the worlds, and you must understand by faith that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. We ought to be, this ought to be a wake-up call to guard that. While everybody who professes to believe in Christ are looking forward to heaven and rejoicing in the future, isn't that what most people do in church now? Isn't that what Christianity's become all about in salvation?
Sure.
It's just rejoicing because we're going to go to heaven soon. Hallelujah. We get to have potluck suppers and everything at church now. And, oh, it's just wonderful. And then after all this, we get to go to heaven. And that's what faith has become all about. And so, while churches have been doing that for years, the devil steals the foundation of their faith from their children right under their noses by sowing doubts about how everything came to be. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
most important, some of the first things I remember learning or hearing about things were that God made this. And we always tried to do that with our kids. And these little ones, that must be some of the first precepts that they get about life and the world around them, that it all came from God. I mean, you must really cement that into their soul, into their very being, that it all came from God. God made the, Libby told us the other day that God painted the sunset. good.
Yes, amen.
Keep reminding her of that.
Yes.
God made the trees. Everything you see, everything we have, everything we enjoy, God made it.
Right.
He gave it, and He made it for us too. So some stuff tastes good. God made that. Do you ever think about that? The goodness of God? Why did He make stuff, fruit and stuff that is so pleasant? Why are there some smells and flowers and honey and... Well, you could go on and on. Think of all that we enjoy in this world. And He didn't have to make it that way. He could have made it just bland. You know, could have just been a cup of rice every day. That's it. No sugar, no salt, just rice. Just enough to keep you alive. But that's not how He did it, is it?
No.
And we need to remind the children and ourselves constantly of the goodness and the generosity and the love of God, how He just did all this, the goodness of God. All it takes for children, or anybody else for that matter, to get doubts about where they came from or where this came from or how everything works, is all it takes is for them to watch or listen to the devil's advocates through education, through movies, through documentaries, through cartoons, through children's storybooks. We've had to, you know, we've culled some books through the years that our kids got because they were so ungodly. Little children's books. Full of, what was that one? The bear book?
Bernstein Bears.
It was all about just destroying the order of God. Father was always stupid. He was always a dummy. He was always absent. He wasn't worth nothing. Mama took care of everything. And that's what, how the book was all, that's how it was all about. You better throw that junk out. They're God-hating, God-denying. It's of the devil. Get rid of it. Learn to recognize His voice. And don't let Him talk to your children. Going to museums. You go to a museum. Wait, I guarantee you. I mean a natural museum about anything to do with nature or earth or anything. What are you going to hear?
Millions
of years ago. First thing you're going to hear. That's right. Take your children there and let them listen to that. These wise people that are all dressed up in uniforms and they got this big fancy thing that's so impressive, and your kids are going to think, they know. They must know what they're talking about. What about taking them to zoos? Well, you're going to learn at the zoo. If you read anything, if you listen to their little deals they play for you. Well, yeah, go to the monkey cage and guess what they're going to tell you. So Uncle, Grandpa, they're going to place those thoughts into your children's tender minds in their formative years while they're trying to discern and make up their minds about where all this came from and how it came to be. Through national parks, you'll find it there. Read every sign of every formation. Go to the Grand Canyon, read how that was formed. Bunch of liars.
Yes, sir.
They're deceived. They're fantasy dreamers. The Colorado River did that. It came over a hill and did that. Really? Study the geography and look at it. And everybody believes it. Just like they believe all this other nonsense. You go to science fiction. If any of that happens, they'll be unsure of this fact. That in the beginning, God framed the worlds by His word, and He made everything out of nothing that was here. They're going to doubt that because there's so many voices that are telling them from every direction. They'll be unable to trust God for salvation when you undermine the fact that God made all this to start with. You better believe that. Faith, by faith, it's the first thing mentioned here. By faith, we understand. By faith, we understand that this is true. It can't be corrected when your mind's messed up.
That's right.
With all these false concepts and ideas and all it takes. Now, the foundation of faith must be laid first in their little minds that God has created all things, and in anything that casts doubt or questions on that fact is coming from the devil. Yep. You got to teach your children that. You got to teach them to understand that the devil hates God. There's a great battle going on here. They need to understand this from the beginning of their understanding. They need to know what's going on in this world and this universe, and that there's a war going on, a spiritual war, and that God, it has an enemy called Satan, and he's the one that undermines and puts doubts. And so that anything that denies this, anything that incites you, entices you to compromise on this fact, fudge just a little. Well, maybe, you know, there's macro evolution, and there's, you know, just go ahead and swallow the Kool-Aid, why don't you?
Yeah, for sure.
That's what they're going to do. You got to make sure that they understand first that God made everything, and that everything came from God, and that anything that calls it into question is from the devil. It's not your critical thinking mind. It's not your intelligence. It's the devil that's speaking in your ear. By the time they're able to read or listen to the lies of Satan coming from the mouths of so-called educated people, they must be able to recognize and reject them based upon the fact that they know God created everything. Did you hear me? By the time they get able to read, read and hear and understand what these people are saying and what these signs are saying and what that book's saying, they need to have it cemented into their soul that that's a lie from the devil. Amen. Very important. Very, listen to this. It must be done by showing them the perfection of God's creation and His signature on all that He made. You see, a little child like these little ones here that are just learning things, the first thing they learn, the first impression made on their mind is so important. Tell them God painted the sunsets. Tell them God made the clouds. God sends the rain. God made the stars and the moon and the sun and the blue sky. That's all God's doing. God thought of that. God, it came from the mind of God. And then He did it. And that's why we're here.
Yes, sir.
Tell them you came from God.
Yes. Yes.
God made you.
Yep.
Don't tell them this stuff that people are telling them now about where they come from.
Yeah.
They come from God. They need to understand that they came from God. There's more to them than just a body. They need to understand. It's funny how old-timers used to understand these things that have been lost on this generation. What does that little poem say? Where'd you come from?
Baby deer.
Baby deer.
Out of the everywhere.
Out of the everywhere to here. Where'd you get those eyes of blue?
from the skies.
As I pass through. From the skies I pass through. See? You put that into the little children's minds so that they think that way and reason that way. And it's the truth. You're not lying to them. You're telling them the truth. And that's how faith is built. That's the foundation of it. It must be done. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. They were made with such perfect order and precision. Framed. You put something in a frame. Well, that's to draw attention to it. I mean, that confines it. That embellishes it. It outlines it. Does all this stuff. And that's why you use that word. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. He made everything perfect. He made everything beautiful, didn't He? In His time. God did everything right. And He even made man upright. But He sought out many inventions, the Bible says. He doeth all things well. That's what they said about Jesus when He walked this earth. He doeth all things well. Well, I want you to know God does all things well. And you need to teach that to the children. Everything is right. The only thing about this world is what's sin. Anything that's wrong, it's because man's sin has corrupted everything. And they need to understand that God did not do that. That sin does that, and the devil brought sin into the world through Adam. And so there's a blight on everything that God made. Teach your children not to blame God for the bad things in the world.
Yes, sir.
That is absolutely vital to understanding about God. Yeah. It makes me very angry to hear people blame God for everything.
Yes.
People get mad at God every time something comes in their life. If some sickness or some loved one gets sick or something, and the first thing they do is they're mad at God. And all they do is curse God and deny Him and hold Him in contempt for their whole life. And then something bad happened to them and they blame God. Why do you think God ought to be good to you in the first place? Why do you deserve anything from God? How could you think that about yourself? But children need to be taught that God is good.
Amen.
And the devil is bad.
Yes.
And that's what's going on in this world. And they need to have their mind from the very beginning trained to think of God first and foremost in that way. And that everything came from Him. And it's good. The processes of life. Teach the children this. That He made everything in such perfect order and precision. You know, I've read where they can't. Man has to adjust his atomic clock every once in a while to get it back in sync with the celestial bodies, whatever you're calling, planets and stars and everything. Man can't make a clock so precise as God's.
Yep.
And at the same time, they say, you know, a big bang flung everything out. Well, when you do that, I mean, if you got any kind of concept in your mind or perception of how physical things work, you know, if you spin something and throw it out there and it all comes apart, they're all going to be spinning the same way. Did you know some of the planets are spinning backwards to the others?
Yes.
I read the other day, Uranus or one of the planets is spinning this way instead of this way. It's spinning the other way, up and down. Well, that just throws them all into... All of their explanations just fall. Don't work. God did that on purpose. How did it happen that way? Somebody didn't put them there and make them do that way. God designed it and He just fixed it all so that man would be scratching his head from now on. And so that everybody that spoke out against God would look like a fool. Fool, has said in his heart, there's no God. Show them how perfect God created everything. Teach your children that. Y'all hear me?
Yes.
It's very important. Don't let them have any kind of entertaining, any kind of thought that God messed up any time, or that He made a mistake, or that He overlooked something, or that He didn't do something right. Teach them how the processes of life, and that things stay in perfect order too. Everything's staying in its place. Did you notice that so far?
Yes.
The processes of life and its perpetuation are so complex and interwoven that makes evolution such a preposterous idea that even a child would never believe it. I've read that if you just study the process of reproduction of living things, and especially human beings, it's impossible to believe that it all just evolved and happened.
Yeah.
Can't be. Just can't be. Use the facts of nature itself to disprove all the theories of ungodly people who deny God. Just like what I was just talking about the planet spinning different ways and all the creatures God made. We haven't even found all the creatures yet that God has made.
Yeah.
I read all the time about them finding some new species, some new creatures, living in the boiling water on the bottom of the ocean. And I thought that killed everything. Well, no, it don't. No. Man made up a lot of rules about physics and stuff, but God doesn't live by those rules. He can make the sun stand still if He wants to. He can make it go backwards if He wants to. I said, that's impossible. No, it's all things are possible with God. In the past 100 years or so, Satan has launched an all-out attack on the divine order of everything. Now, when God created all this, He created it in an orderly fashion. Everything is in its place, has its function, has its place to be. And that includes people. The basic truth and foundation of society is that God created male and female. When He created all living things, He created male and female. You need to study that. It's in Genesis. Starts out there. I mean, it's basic. It's not just words that He threw in there. It wasn't just an afterthought. It is the creation of God. It's male and female. Have you seen that come under attack? In the past 100 years, I'm telling you, we're sitting in a, from our perspective in the timeline of all of this, we can see more clearly what the devil's doing than anybody else has ever been able to see. It's been under attack from every quarter until now. We see that mankind has thrown out this very basic and obvious fact of nature in favor of fantasy and imagination. Somebody told me the other day that they don't even know how many genders there are, but they think there's at least 70-something. It's in the 70s. They change it all the time. Genders? What kind of craziness is that? Well, it's when you reject God and the obvious truth and you live in fantasy and imagination. You're insane. You're crazy, evil, out of your mind. But it's been attacked for years and years and years. What was the first thing that they did to attack the genders and break down the difference between the genders and break down the office of the genders, the place? Well, it started with cross-dressing. Yeah. Now, the men didn't want to wear dresses, but the women wanted to wear pants. And so that's where they started. It's where it started. But that wasn't even the root of the issue. The women didn't want to, they wanted to be in the man's place. Somebody said the other day, you know, this old saying of, you know, who wears the pants in your house? Well, everybody understands. They still understand that. And she said, we seen some old couple, and I was out in the public, and she said, well, probably they ought to just change it to who wears the shorts in your family now.
Yeah,
because that's what you see most of the time. Men wear these old blousy shorts, and the woman's got on her leggings, you know. But that was the first thing that started the ball rolling. Men didn't want to stay home. It didn't start that way. It didn't start with the men getting sick of working and in all these fields and fishing and factories and mines and forests and nope, we're sick of this. We want to stay home and take care of babies and do dishes. That's not how the rebellion against God happened. The women didn't want to do it. They wanted to be men. They wanted to usurp the men. Well, what has happened? You men go apply for a government job.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. See if you get one. You can get a job now just because you're a woman. And if you're a different color of a woman than white, you got a way better chance to get. You're almost assured of it, whether they need anybody or not. And that's the truth. But it's been under attack from every quarter until we're at the point we are now. Along with the undermining of this division God placed there between the genders, all sexual morality is gone. And that inevitably leads to moral anarchy in all matters of right and wrong. I've talked to you before, that is the pillar of morality. Break down the genders, then break that down, and it's all gone. All morality's gone. There is no sense. This is what we was talking about in Sunday school again. You know, good's evil and evil's good. In fact, there's no difference. That's the whole point. That's the game of the devil. We're all the same. Same gender, same, you know, women can do anything a man can do. Man can do anything a woman. No, no, you don't hear that too much, oh, do you?
No.
It's funny to me how the feminists now measure the value of a woman by manly traits like strength and courage and assertiveness. That makes you a real empowered woman. They're using male traits to, and that's what the women are judged by and measured by. That ought to put them to shame. They ought to be ashamed of that. At the same time, look what's happened to the men. Where are the men? I was looking the other day, that message has been, it's one of the top listened to messages, you know, that I ever put out there. You know, people have listened to that and listened to it because they've got that question in their mind. Where are the men? So we got moral anarchy, we got violence and disregard for life itself. That's the result, and destruction will soon follow. And where did it all come from? From denying what God did in the beginning. In the beginning, God created them male and female. You can't just make it evolution and deny any part of it without the whole house falls. But we must not fail to recognize is that before the breakdown of all the differences between the sexes, and before the breakdown of morality, and before the corruption of the Word of God by all the modern versions, there was an attack on the truth that God created this world and all that it contains. I don't know how many of you read enough and know enough about history to understand or to know what I'm talking about here, but the attack on the creation of God, or that God created all things, started before Charles Darwin came along. It started before the Revised Version came out. It started before that. The geologist and the geological column and all the different, you know, before the mid-1800s or so, geologists studied geology. They looked at the land. They found gold and oil and everything else with the mindset of a universal flood that happened in Noah's day. They understood the lay of the land. They could understand what might be there and what might be here because they understood there was a flood that flooded the whole world, and a big one, and it changed the landscape and it moved everything. And that's how they understood how to figure things out. But then they changed it. The ungodly changed it and decided that you could go down through the layers and that represented time. Lie! Not true. Layers don't represent time. Don't represent different ages. Now we've got Stone Age, Copper Age, Iron Age, Ice Age, and they've got it all figured out. And they're going to look so foolish when the truth is laid out before the whole human race. What fools they're going to be. But before the devil could undermine anything else, before he could even undermine the fact of the creation, male and female and all that, he had to undermine the fact that in the beginning God created everything. And people were believing and thinking and pondering the idea that the earth's been here for millions of years before it ever came to this evolution idea and all of that. Y'all hear me?
Yes,
so important. We can see what the devil has done. Evolution is the modern scheme of the devil to undermine faith in God. But before that came along, that was just something that came along in recent history. Before that came along, there were always some other kinds of attacks on this basic truth. Do you know what other religions teach? There's one religion that teaches that there's a great big elephant that the world is sitting on and he's holding up the world, and then people believe it. Instead of in the beginning God created in the heavens and the earth, they think the earth's just this big flat thing laying on the back of an elephant, giant elephant, and such preposterous nonsense things. It's been going on forever and ever. Ever and ever. People's ideas of where the world came from. How did You know, you look at the savage people of the world. You can go about anywhere in the world to a jungle and always have been able to, and you'll find traces of the knowledge of the truth in their history, in their tales, in their superstitions and beliefs.
That's right.
And where did they get lost? Well, they got lost when they left the foundation.
That's right.
If you believe that God created everything you see, you're going to fear Him. That's an awesome God who can do that. Beyond what we can even get our mind anywhere near around. We can't comprehend. It surpasses all of our pride and whatever we think we can understand or do. It goes way past it. Well, they left it and they ended up in darkness. And so the great deception that is coming upon all the earth is going to be about this very matter also. Y'all better listen to me. You just need to get this, because someday you're gonna remember that I told you. This is what the great deception is going to be all about that's coming. You remember the Bible talks about that. God's going to give them over to great deception because they received not the knowledge of the truth. God gave them. He's going to give them up. Give them over to great deception, that they'll believe a lie and be damned who receive not the knowledge of the truth. So something's going to happen in this world at the end of all of this that's going to make the whole world reject the idea that God created everything the way we understand it, the way the Bible teaches us it here. The Bible tells us that all the world is going to worship the beast by means of a false prophet that convinces the whole world of the alien origins of all earthly life. If you'll not buy into that lie by letting the government put a mark on your body identifying you as their property, then you cannot buy or sell and you'll live under a sentence of death. So you got to believe it. You got to buy into it. You got to accept it. And you got to wear the mark saying that you belong, that you're one of them. How could all the religions of the world be brought under one tent unless they all discarded the idea that the God of Israel is the creator of the universe? How could they? Evolution won't do that. How could the evolutionists be brought into the same tent? And the Muslims and the Buddhists and the pagans and the devil worshipers? How could they all be brought in? Well, by believing that God is an alien, and that we were just put here by them. That God didn't create the heavens and the earth. It was already here millions of years ago. It's basic to faith. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So that's a very important message for us in this verse here, for the end times in which we live. Beware of anything, anyone, any ideas that question or contradict or try to compromise the truth that everything we can perceive with our physical senses was framed by the Word of God and brought forth from nothing. This is how everything we know began, and this is where it came from. That's right. You better be grounded in it. You better understand that the world is full of lies. And all of this, you know, the space program is, what is the purpose of the space program? What is their goal above all else? Find life out there. It's fascinating how they can be so clever and how they can accomplish these things. Where are they getting that knowledge? Where are they getting that understanding to be able to pull off these tricks? You better beware.
Yes,
they are liars also. They're fixing up for the big lie. Watch out. Watch out. They're going to find life. They're going to say they found life. I read the other day where one of the moons of Jupiter is just belching out methane gas and plumes, and it's just got to be life there. Just got to be. It's like the Earth's got to be millions of years old, and just like all the layers in the rock gotta represent time periods. They lied about all kinds of stuff, evolution. Did you ever read about which one was it in the Peking Man or one of them? They found a tooth. It was all a fraud. They had a tooth that they found in the dirt over in China somewhere. It probably fell off of somebody's plate while they was eating hog jowls or something. Because it turned out to be the tooth of a pig. But they created this whole chain in the evolutionary link.
Yep.
And showed you what he looked like, told you what he ate, where he lived. You know, everything about him. They're liars. Because
yes.
The devil is a liar. Mm-hmm. This is truth.
Yes.
I mean, at this point in all of the timeline here, there's still somebody telling you this is the truth.
Yes,
everything else is a lie that's coming from this world. You better not believe it. You better not let them talk you out of it. You better not let them sow doubts in your mind about what this book says. This verse that we just read here this morning, there is no room for any compromise on it. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then it goes into all of the list of by faith Abel, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham. You can't do anything by faith unless you understand the beginning by faith. The first work of faith is understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So, no wonder faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have faith without understanding. Faith is not just blind. Oh, I believe. I'm trying to believe. I want to believe. Faith is understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And by faith we understand these things. So, let us believe it with all of our hearts and minds and teach it diligently to our children and guard carefully against the onslaughts of the devil in this matter. Don't let them put those thoughts in your children's minds. Don't let them put those thoughts in your mind. I am always reminded about every week now. I'm reminded of how far removed we are in generations here. You know, talking to Wyatt and realizing the things that he, people and things that he don't even remember because he never saw them. And then we were talking some more about it, you know, the different ones here, even some of you that are a little older. I just take for granted that you know about this and that and the other, and you never even knew it. I was talking to Matt and Stacy about some preachers from, and I thought, how in the world could you be in a Baptist church and not know heard of them? But then I realized there's 30 years here difference, and they've been long gone. See, they passed off the scene, and they've come up here. Oh, you know, and these children here, they were born in this generation. God knew that. And then it's not something that's an accident. It's not something that God has let go carelessly. They're here for a reason. Man, let's not mess up. Let's do our best to teach them and train them that God is God. He created all things. And you got to believe that to believe in God. You got to believe that to be saved. You got to believe that God created everything. Jesus said so too in the New Testament. He confirmed it all. So, don't swallow a bit of it. Amen. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truth here, and I pray you'd help us to really ponder this. It's very important. Third verse in chapter 11, the faith chapter. And it's a truth that's put forth for us right there at the beginning. So it's a foundational thing that we must understand and we must embrace. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us with this. That we guard this place, this valuable element here of our faith and not let the world, the devil, poison us, poison our children, or make us just simply forget it and lay it aside while we look to the future in anticipation of joy and glory and peace. Lord, help us to hold on to both ends of this thing. Lord, help us to pray. Bless it to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen.